Hello and welcome back to the Soapbox. And without sounding like a broken record, we've been busy. Not in the bad sense of that word, but there's been a lot on. I've been at big camp and all kinds of stuff has been on. What about you, Dad? What has been going on for you?
Yeah, well, I've also been to a big camp. Went down to the lovely area of Jindabyne, which is in the Alpine area of Australia, and very cold, but was involved in big camp there. So that's kept me busy. And then getting back on track with things at work. And I know with you, you've been in a similar position. Big camp takes a lot of your time. And so our regular soapboxes, we keep promising, but we do need to try and get into the regular idea that every fortnight is going to drop at the same time.
It should theoretically. But you know, I've been at big camp for 2 weeks in Stewart's Point, and if anyone is familiar with the mid north coast of New South Wales, you know that getting access to the internet is a task. And more than that, I've come back and now I'm in the throes of moving. So everything's in a state of flux. So hopefully we'll have time next week, perhaps, to record an episode for the week after. But we'll get there. We'll get onto a regular schedule. And the easy bit is I'm going to be less than 7 minutes from your front door. And so we should be able to do them more regularly, I hope.
Maybe we need to make a coffee date where we do face-to-face recording of our next podcast.
Absolutely. I think we need to. But today, we want to talk about artificial intelligence. And it's a hot topic. Everyone's talking about it. But artificial intelligence is perhaps as big an invention as the internet or the thing that we all have in our pockets, if you're in Australia, an iPhone. It's probably those two things have been the biggest turning points in the last 20 years in technology, not excluding or including really social media as well in the social internet. But artificial intelligence, that's the next big thing that's happening. In fact, has already happened and it's already been unleashed on our society. And I don't want to be like a doomsdayer, but we don't know exactly what the consequences are going to be. So, Dad, what are your thoughts or understanding around artificial intelligence? And then maybe I can fill in a bit more about what AI is.
Yeah, well, I've been listening to conversations on radio and internet and TV, on Reddit threads, other places about AI. And you're right, the last couple of weeks is a hot topic of a lot of discussion. I think it's sort of generated out of the fact that a couple of people that are right in the middle of it actually inventing AI over the last 20 years or so, and that's how far it goes back, are actually coming out now and saying, danger, be careful, we're not sure where it's going to end up. Yes, a lot of good out of this, but we're not sure about the flip side, and sort of encouraging everyone to take a deep collective breath before they press further. And there's a lot of dollars by a lot of companies being invested right now in AI. And you're right, Andrew, they're saying this is the next big thing since the mobile phone, since the internet. This is the next big thing about to hit. And they're saying it's just as big, if not bigger. So the brave new world is already upon us and is about to break even more.
Yeah. Now, a lot of people might not be aware of what AI is. And there's a few different technologies out there that feel a bit like artificial intelligence, but they're not. So if you've got an iPhone, you've got Siri, and she doesn't always work that well when you want her to when you're driving.
She's a pioneer or early version of AI.
Well, she's not actually artificial intelligence. She's what's called machine learning, and she has a language detection algorithm and has responses in her library, and she doesn't have the ability to really respond outside of what has been programmed into her. On your phone, if you have an iPhone, it's newer than about 2018, 2017 maybe, you will have what's called a neural engine in your phone on the chip. It's a bit of silicon where basically Siri operates, and it's where a lot of the security features are. And that is basically the thing that powers machine learning on your phone. So your phone learns where you travel and can give you advice on when you need to leave for somewhere. Your phone learns your patterns and responds appropriately and gives you information in the morning that you need for your day. It learns all kinds of different things, who you call regularly. Like when I'm driving home, my phone reminds me, hey, you might want to call Michaela, who's my wife.
Mine does
like that.
The same.
So
you normally call your wife at this time, you want me to place that call?
Basically. So that's machine learning. That's not artificial intelligence. Artificial intelligence and what's called generative AI is a technology that is much more difficult to explain because basically it can respond and can make decisions and can operate in a very similar way that we might make decisions as a human. But like AI can do all kinds of things. Like there's artificial intelligence in Final Cut Pro, which is a video editing tool I use, which can isolate my voice from a recording and make it sound really good. So it's able to make all of that happen without me doing
it. Very helpful.
Very helpful. And then we get to generative AI, and it's in its name. Generative AI generates content. And so, for example, you have a chatbot, and Siri's trying to respond to me while I'm talking, right? But you get a chatbot who is able to generate content for you. So, for example, the most famous one is ChatGPT. And ChatGPT is trained on a whole heap of information from the internet and from the world up until 2021.
Yep.
And basically all the information that ChatGPT knows, I'm not talking about GPT-4, which is their newest one, but ChatGPT, which is the free one, comes from 2021 or prior. So if you ask it about events that have happened post-2021, it cannot respond and give you an answer of any type. Generative AI can also do things like create documents for you. Like I've got an AI inside of an app I use called Notion that has built databases for me to track Bible studies. It can do all kinds of awesome, helpful things. But then there's also the flip side where artificial intelligence such as image creation platforms like Jasper and other deepfake technologies can create images of people that look real, but maybe aren't so real. So there's a lot of negatives that can come from this as well. And we just aren't quite sure what's going to happen.
And there's the issue right there, is that even the inventors saying once we go down this road even further, we're not quite sure what the outcome's going to be because of the very fact you're releasing it to do what, as you say, it does do. And they're saying, yes, there's some very good reasons why we should embrace AI, and companies are already pouring thousands and thousands and billions of dollars into it. But there's mm-hmm. also some good reasons, they said, why we should be very careful and concerned about the flip side of it and the things it could be used for down the track. And we're already seeing some of that in our news stories this week.
Yeah, and this week on ABC News, if you go onto there's a great article that came out, and I listened to an interview on ABC Radio driving between Ballina and Tweed Heads about this very topic. And a lady shared her story, an Australian public figure, and it was discovered that her image was being used in deep fake videos of pornography, and it was taking a step from being obviously fake to seeming to be very real. And ABC,
and what they're saying, yep. Andrew, there is it's not just photos. This isn't actually
video.
Pornographic videos that look like it's the person involved in those acts, and they're not really. It's deep fake. So yeah.
There's lots of connection. Well, there's lots of concerns around consent there, in that you're not consenting to your image to be used for that purpose. But then you also get to the next level, which is ABC looked at it and they found 13 high-profile women within Australia whose images were being used on these websites that are on specific websites, not just your general run-of-the-mill porn website, but your specific websites that are only about deep fake videos. But it's not just porn. I don't want to focus on that thing. That's just one aspect. Deepfakes have been used to fake videos of Tom Cruise as a famous deepfake creator on TikTok who has a fake Tom Cruise, a fake Margot Robbie. You've got fake presidents, so people have used deep fake technology to fake videos of Trump and Obama and Biden and so on and so forth. And the concern is around people being able to decipher what is true and what is not, because our world is already marred by so much conjecture and mistruth.
You're spot on, and that's, I think, the crux of the matter is, especially for our kids, from a children's perspective of and parenting, of how to help our kids understand what is going on, but also how to discern what is truth. And that's becoming harder and harder with what the roads of deep fake is going down, as to, okay, this is a YouTube clip, but is that really a YouTube clip of that person or not? And helping them be able to do some of the research around that to discover what's going on is a really huge parenting space that I guess sometimes parents are just trying to catch up with the internet and with the mobile phone and keep up with their kids with that, let alone what's going to happen in the next little while with AI technology. And I think, yes, it's a space that we're going to need to all be hyper-vigilant in and aware of, knowing that there's some good things here. And we're not here today to down AI. As you said, there's some great things that AI does in writing Bible studies, et cetera, and all sorts of things it can do to help us. But I guess also I'm hearing danger, be careful, coming through as well.
Yeah, and I use artificial intelligence actually quite frequently, not to write content that is not writing content, but I might, like the other week I wrote a letter and I chucked it through ChatGPT and said, can you refine this for me? So it wasn't adding content. I asked it to refine what I was saying. And then I can look at it, I can filter, I can decide if I want to use it or adapt it and change it and utilize it for my own thing or not. And I can leave it there. There's lots of
in the past, that was what your secretary would do. You would have a secretary you paid to check your lettering, come back to you and say, hey, is this all right before you signed off? So now it's saying that technology can replace what a normal person's secretary or assistant in the past would have done.
Exactly. My wife and I were using AI to find and suggest names for a baby boy, because that's something that's relevant, right? And it did it through all kinds of ideas, and we'd say, hey, what goes well with the last name Pratt? And it's not that we're going to necessarily listen to that, but AI is a great tool to get ideas from and to grow your idea if you have a small idea to draft around it, but then to go and make it your own work. And that's the thing that I think we can highlight, that universities are highlighting, that schools are highlighting, is that, hey, we need to make sure that people are still doing their own work. But on the flip side, I was chatting with a expert in the education field, and this person who works every single day in technology within schools was showing me and showing Michaela that he was able to utilize artificial intelligence, ChatGPT, to write accurate programs to teach at schools. Now, if you know a teacher, right, it can take teachers hours and days to get all their programs done. But this ChatGPT was able to quickly draft an accurate English program to the teaching and to the descriptors at the New South Wales syllabus wants them to do, and did it pretty well. Now, not perfect. As a teacher, you take some things and you adapt them and you change them as you would anyway, but it's able to save a lot of time in tasks that are extremely repetitive.
And I think that's the good use of ChatGPT and others is that, yes, I think that's fantastic, and it's going to save time. And that's what computers are meant to do. They're meant to save you time so you can spend time investing in relationships and other things that you're doing. And I guess I should also pause and say, in names for a boy, that there is a grandchild on the way, or a child, Andrew's first child on the way. So it's all very exciting. So that could get in the way of future podcasts. Or maybe we get AI to do the podcast for us. I'm sure that we could ask it to discuss the pros and cons, and it could come up with one. But But yes, that's very exciting. And I think, as you say, having it as a tool to help gender conversation and thinking, I think is a powerful and positive use of AI. But I guess to flip the coin, I was reading the ABC article the other day about this guy that had a very bad relationship, and out of that, he decided to invest in a partner that was an AI partner, and he was able to say, "This is what I want her to be interested in. This is what I want her to talk about. This is what I want her to do." And so he went down the path of creating an online partner who he loves very much and invests time in, to the point that he said, "I just don't want to have an AI in the screen. I decide I want a real one as well." So he purchased a doll that he now dresses up as the I guess the physical presence of his wife, to use the term, or partner. And I think, and for him, he's able to create his perfect partner in his own image, and he finds happiness, and he finds connection, and he finds the things he wants out of a partner in that. Now, my question is it going to become easier down the track to let's not invest in a messy relationship that has its ups and downs and whatever else? Let's just create a partner in our own image for time's sake and for convenience, but also means that I don't have to worry about the arguments. I don't have to worry about the stress of romancing, et cetera, because I can do it all through AI and have my needs met. And this was proven by the fact that recently, when an AI function for romance was turned off on a chat bot, not sure which one, you'll know probably more, Andrew. A lot of people, particularly in Japan and other places, went into emotional distress because their partner, their AI partner, stopped responding romantically. And there was people that were suicidal and were in tears and were crying and were shaking and needed to get psychological support because their romance function had been turned off. Now, for me, I'm saying, danger. What's going on here when you can invent your own partner, your own perfect partner in your own image? I think that's crossing the line.
Yeah, it's and I think that that's a thing is that when artificial intelligence is used as a replacement for human function, that's something that we can be concerned about. And I don't think this is necessarily something morally specifically wrong with that, but what it does do is it reduces our ability to be people to one another. In that it stops people from having to operate that relationship function in their brain. And humans are wired for connection. And a lot of people are struggling to actually do that these days. We've had a number of traumatic events worldwide that have meant that people don't want to engage as deeply with each other. But I think that it's important to keep that level of deep engagement as humans, because it strengthens us, it grows us, and it means that we as humans and as a human-centered planet or the Anthropocene or whatever you want to call us, are operating in unison rather than out of division. And
You're right. I think also investing in relationships, like you're talking about, grows us as a person. Rather than creating something in your own image, you are forced to think about your thoughts. You are forced to think about your beliefs. You are forced to think about your values in life, rather than saying, "I want a self fulfilling prophetic person that's going to do exactly what I want it to do." And yes, the AI does think, and but yeah, but it thinks in certain parameters. Whereas, as we all know, in relationships, there are your ups and downs, and I think your ups come out of the downs, and as you say, community grows out of that, and our emotional happiness grows out of that. And yeah, I think sometimes the hard times help us prepare us for the good times as well, and vice versa. And the good times are better because of the hard times. And so the whole resilience idea comes into here is that, I mean, we've talked about helicopter parents in the past, and make it easy for your kids. when you start making it easy for your relationships, I think we are going down a really dangerous path, and it could be a future danger to our kids who are sometimes time poor and don't have the time to invest in a relationship. And so here's a way that I can do it. Now, I don't know, is that porn or is that some other thing? What do you call it? And how much is it dysfunctional and how much is it functional? I think that's a question up for debate. So, yes.
Yeah. So I think that's a lot of the scary bits of AI we've just gone over. I want to share some of the really good news stories that artificial intelligence is enabling. In outback New South Wales and in outback Queensland, there are often situations, and in the Northern Territory, where health professionals don't have a cardiac specialist anywhere nearby. Artificial intelligence in ultrasound imaging devices that they've set up is able to diagnose quite early on various heart conditions just from the ultrasound image that the technician runs over the person. So that's a good news story in that people
and advise the appropriate treatment.
Yeah, well, if they can identify it, then they can get the person from wherever they are in the middle of nowhere to Darwin or Alice Springs or to Brisbane, wherever they need to go to get the help that they need. And it can do it quite early on. Artificial intelligence is being used in the World Wildlife Fund is using it in Australia, along with national parks, and is using artificial intelligence to track the recovery of animals from the Black Summer bushfires.
Well, that's pretty powerful.
Pretty powerful. In northern Queensland and in the Northern Territory, they've set up sonar detectors and artificial intelligence to track the movement of crocodiles, so people know when there's a crocodile nearby.
Yeah, I read that one last night too, and I thought, yes, that would be very useful.
There's all kinds of safe and awesome things that artificial intelligence is enabling. There's situations in Australia where you just can't get to a general practitioner, and they believe that they've set up some artificial intelligence tools that they're testing. They're not releasing upon the public, but they're testing them to see if they can provide advice to help assist in the health of people. In fact, Dr. Norman Swan was talking about this on the Health Report on ABC News Radio the other day, and they used ChatGPT-4, and they gave it a whole heap of questions, and they gave the same questions to 100 general practitioners and emergency room doctors. And guess which thing or which person gave the more empathetic responses to the questions and more accurate responses. And it wasn't the humans, it was the artificial intelligence gave more empathetic responses and helped to assuage the fears of people that were asked, like that these questions were happening. And I'm not saying artificial intelligence is going to replace a doctor, but in terms of solving some of these problems that we do have and helping to lessen the burden on our health system, artificial intelligence appears as though it could be a really helpful thing.
Okay. You've won me in some ways with that. But my question still is, and I guess the same question we ask in the smartphone, when to give your kid a smartphone, your child, but also in the internet, how do we parent with the internet? I guess with this new AI coming up, I guess, and being a family and children's ministry specialist, my question is, so how do we parent and raise kids in this brave new world that is already here? And I say the next few years are going to be very interesting in what happens, both for good and for not so good. How do we parent? How do we do marriages and relationships in this space in the years going forward?
Same principles apply, I think. I watched a video the other day of a US news reporter from, I don't know, it would have been like 93 or 94, talking about the internet and that people could email them. And they had no idea what email was. And they were talking about how scary this whole new world is and what even is the at symbol. They thought they didn't know what the at symbol was yet, right?
People still don't, but yeah.
Yeah. But if I reflect on that video and I think about how the world has gone since about, well, really it took off after I was born. I grew up
your life, with your lifetime. Yeah.
I've grown up with the internet as the internet's growing up. I used to use MSN. I used to use all those different things. If I said MSN to a kid these days, they'd have no idea what MSN is. If I said, now I even forgot what the name of the service was, AOL was, they'd have no idea what it is.
Well, if I asked you about VHS and Beta, or if I asked you about
pencil. I'm a technology nerd. I loved VHS tapes and magnetic tape is a very effective way to store data. It's even today.
I could tell a story about Andrew exploring our stereo in our car, our cassette recorder, which was in the car, Whiz Bang, which I think Andrew in the end fried.
I put a 50-cent coin in it.
Posting, we found an NRMA card in there. We found a coin in there. Andrew thought it was a great place to test and post things in there.
The NRMA card was in the floppy disk tray of your computer. People had a lot of fear about the internet. They thought it was going to be completely evil. And yes, it's got really bad bits. It's got really good bits, but humanity has really bad bits and it's got really good bits and cause for hope. Now social media has caused a lot of harm. It's also done an awful lot of good. And mobile phones, they've caused harm, but they've also done a lot of good. And I think the same applies when it comes to artificial intelligence. And one of the creators of AI, the AI ethics expert, his name is, and there's a video on ABC News about this. Michael Schumacher is his name. Not the car racer, but anyway, there's this guy rejects a pause in development of AI. Rather, we have to develop policy around it. In other words, we have to develop an understanding of how to interact with it. And I think for parents, there has to be an understanding developed of how to interact with it for yourself, but also how your kids are going to interact with it. Because trust me, it's going to become a part of our classrooms and a part of teaching kids to use computers is teaching them safe use of all these technologies. And I think that's really the crux of it, is we have to teach people how to use things safely.
And I think added to that, and this is for all parenting, one of the biggest things that we can do to help negotiate these sorts of spaces is that the power of deep conversation and regular conversation with your children and with your partner. And I think that's important here to think about, is that having the pros and cons discussion like we've just had now, where you can talk about the pros and cons while you're driving to school or going on a trip or whatever, doing something together. That is the most powerful way to help your kids to begin to think in this space and to begin to think about how they're going to interact in this space. Because I think, as you said and as I've said, we don't know exactly where it's going to turn out yet. They just saying the other days, this is the next big social experiment is AI technology, and it's already happening. And I think just having regular conversation, but as parents also not shrinking away from it, because sometimes technology can be challenging for parents. But I think listening to the conversations, reading the articles, and trying to keep up with what's going as much as possible so you can engage in that conversation with your children is going to be a powerful way to help your children and your family build those values that you're going to embrace as a family going forward. And I think the negative effects of anything that your kids see reduces significantly, according to research, if the parent is able to have an open conversation with their children about what they've just seen. So I think that still is a value that sticks today as well, especially in the AI space.
Yeah, take control of the conversation. Don't let it happen without you. And if you're wondering what artificial intelligence is, look up openai.com, and there's a whole heap of information there on the OpenAI website. And to touch back on a thing you said earlier, Microsoft has just added another $10 billion to this group's funding. And this group hasn't made a single dollar yet, but companies are pouring money into this. And so it's here to stay. I think I'll put some resources in the show notes for people who are interested. There's a really great video by a guy called Marques Brownlee, MKBHD. He's a tech blogger. He's a tech expert. He posts videos weekly on all kinds of technology, the latest iPhones, the latest whatever. But he did a video on artificial intelligence and listened to music that artificial intelligence had written that sounded like, I think it was Jay-Z. So really interesting video. You really can't tell the difference between the real person and this new song. It sounds the same, but it was a lot of work for them to get there, but it's going to become easier for artificial intelligence to make stuff like that. And he does a great video on the pros and cons. Linus Tech Tips on YouTube, look him up, does a great video on the pros and cons. And there's people like Tom Scott, who's a really good educational YouTuber, and he has a great video talking about artificial intelligence and the pros and cons and the damage that could come, but also the great positives that are going to come from it as well.
And I think, as you said, Andrew, this has been the conversations happened for time immemorial, from the invent of the TV to the invent of the radio, even back to the Morse code and other things like that. It's a similar conversation needs to occur. And my other thing I like to say, again, in conclusion, is variety, balance, and moderation. And I think encouraging your family to connect over meals, over drive time, and taking your family on adventures and outings, they still trump anything that AI can throw at you. And I think in the end, it's about time and investing time in your family, and that will trump anything that AI can throw at you in the end. So keep building those powerful connections, keep the conversation going, keep the values of your family at the forefront, and I think that it's going to be okay.
It is going to be okay, and I'm not afraid of artificial intelligence. That's because I'm a tech nerd, and I'm not actually that worried about what's going to happen, because at the end of the day, positives and negatives come from every single human change. If I go back to the Industrial Revolution, this is my conclusion. In the Industrial Revolution, when things became mechanized, people said, oh, everyone's going to have so much more time to go and give to their families. Then the internet happened and we said the same thing. We all got dishwashers. We said the same thing. Our cars got better and faster and cheaper. We said the same thing. And people are saying the same thing about artificial intelligence. They're saying that artificial intelligence is going to automate lots of things that we do, and it's going to give us more time. Now, I don't think it's going to give us more time, because that equation has never worked out. But it is going to automate lots of things that we do, and it's going to change the face of work. It's going to change my job. Even as a pastor, you'd think that my job is entirely face-to-face. No, there's things that I've already automated. Like if I need to post something on social media, I will ask ChatGPT to draft me a social media post like the one it wrote for me before. In an Adventist context, and it will do it in an Adventist context, talk about prophecy, and it will do it in a certain style for me. And I can refine it by just typing in one sentence or a couple of words. And so there's lots of those things that are going to happen, and the negatives are still going to be there. But I say embrace the positives and be aware of the negatives, and everything will continue to be okay.
And I think allow it to be a tool rather than a rule. In other words, allow you are still in control, and it's a tool to assist you rather than a rule to control you, is something to keep in mind as well in all those decision-making. And my last point for me would be, children still spell love as T-I-M-E. Absolutely. And yeah, no matter what happens, it's taking the time to invest in deep conversation, deep love, deep relationships, deep connection, and that is going to take your family and yourself and your relationships with your partner forward in a powerful way.
And with that, I think it's time to say over and out. Thank you all for listening to The Soapbox for this week. If you want to find us on Facebook, you can find us on there. You can find us personally on those platforms as well. And do reach out. Do share this episode with people if you know people that are going to be interested in this topic. And check out the rest of our episodes on any of your podcast catching apps. And we'll listen, and we'll see you guys next time.
Hopefully in a fortnight.
In a fortnight, we hope. All right. Chat to you later.